I've been to Edgerton, Darlington, Middleton, Hubbleton, Hub City, Cuba City, Genoa City, Ashpin, Ashland, Packwaukee, Pewaukee, Waukesha, Conemaugh, Waupaca, Milwaukee, Wausau, Wauwatosa, Waupon, Watertown, Waterloo, Whitewater, Whitefish, State Matters, Wishwaters, Climate. I've been over there. Hey, smell that dairy.
This is a morel mushroom edition of Tell Joy Where to Go. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's 8.5 minutes past 6 o'clock on this Friday, May 15th. Morel mushroom season has kicked off in Wisconsin, and many of you are out foraging for these wild delicacy. I know this because you're posting your coveted stash on Facebook, and they are showing up at area farmers markets. I've never hunted for or found a morel mushroom in the wild, but I look forward to learning how this hour. Do you hunt for morels in the spring? Have you had any luck? How do you like to prepare your morel mushrooms? What about other mushrooms? Have you successfully foraged for anything besides morels? And I doubt you are going to tell me about your secret hunting grounds, but maybe you can give us a general idea where you find your morel mushrooms. 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page, and you can even post some photos of your morel mushrooms. Some have already. You can also tweet us your question on Twitter at Joy Cardine Show. Our guest is Alan Parker, a retired biology professor at UW Waukesha with a PhD in mycology. He has lectured widely on edible mushrooms. He has been studying Wisconsin fungi since 1977. Good morning.
Good morning.
So why do you suppose morel mushrooms are as popular as they are?
Basically, two reasons. They're the only real significant edible that comes up in the spring. There are some minor ones, but morels are it in the spring, where in the winter there are many types of edible mushrooms, and people are more diverse. The other reason is morels are very easy to learn how to identify. You can learn in 10 minutes.
How do we identify them?
The common species in the southern part of the state is a so-called common morel or yellow morel, and the we call them fruiting bodies. We don't call them mushrooms. That's a technical, or it's based on gilled mushrooms. So these are not called mushrooms. The fruiting body is composed of about 50% cap and about 50% stem or stipe. The stipe is kind of creamy tan, and the cap consists of what we call pits and ridges, and it's very distinctive. The arrangement of them is rather random looking, and another common name is sponge mushroom because people often think they sort of resemble a sponge. The other neat thing, when you cut them vertically, which you should do to get rid of insects and bugs, they're hollow both in the cap and the stem.
Oh, and they do look like sponges, but isn't there also a false morel that looks like it?
Right. I should mention the other two morels. They're in the same area as the woods where you find the common morel. You also find something called the half-free morel. And it has a very small cap, about 20% of the overall height of the morel, and it may be 3, 4, 5, 6 inches. It is not, in my opinion, it's not as flavorful. The false morel is not real common in southern Wisconsin. Now, most of my experience is Richland Center area, roughly between Richland Center and Waukesha, and Waukesha County, Washington County, and Jefferson County.
That's pretty rough.
Right. That narrows it right down. I always tell people there I find them in the woods.
Right.
But anyway, the false morel, the cap portion, it does have a stem and a cap. When you cut it vertically, it looks stuffed. There is tissue in both the stem and the cap, and the outer surface of the cap is highly convoluted, often described as brain-like, but no pits and ridges. It just doesn't have them. And it's much more common as you move north in Wisconsin. You get into poplar stands and poplar and pine stands. And I've had people bring two or three large brown grocery bags in to leave my lab very disappointed.
So those the false ones are they edible but they don't taste good, or are they bad for you?
Well, there's this ongoing debate that's been at least 50-60 years in the making. People in the
Oh no, I think we lost our guest. We have we'll have to call him back. Darn it all, telephones. We are talking with Alan Parker, who is a retired biology professor at UW Waukesha. He is a fungi expert, and we welcome your questions for him. We welcome your own tales of hunting for morels or other mushrooms, 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. This is a morel edition of Tell Joy Where to Go, talking about morel mushrooms. And I'm calling them mushrooms, but our guest said they're not technically a mushroom. There is, by the way, the Morel Mushroom Festival in Muscadet this weekend. This is the 33rd annual Muscadet Morel Mushroom Festival. Muscadet calls itself the Morel Mushroom Capital of Wisconsin. And they promise adventure and fun, or fungi, at Morel Mushroom Festival this weekend. It's the 16th and 17th, and we have details on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page if you'd like to check that out. Okay, well, we have reestablished contact with our guest, Professor Alan Parker. And I'm sorry, we were talking about the false morel and whether or not that was dangerous to eat if we did.
Yeah, as I mentioned, people that cook them thoroughly cook out the toxins, and they break down in with water and temperature. The toxins are very bad in terms of potential to cause even a fatality. They're based on one chemical called monomethylhydrazine, which you can't write down. It's but if you look up false morel toxins, just Google it. You'll get lots of information.
Yeah. And I mentioned you said that the morel is not really a mushroom.
Correct. It's there are two giant technical groups of higher fungi. One is referred to as the ascomycetes. This is based on microscopic structures. The other, much larger group for collecting, are the basidiomycetes. They include puffballs, chanterelles, gill mushrooms, all kinds of things, where the ascomycetes is very, very limited to basically morels, truffles, and a few other minor things.
Mm-hmm. Now, where are the morels generally located? Are they mainly southern Wisconsin, or are they all over?
They go all the way to the northern border of the state. Morel hunting is very popular in Nicolet, and during the morel season, we say that spring moves 100 miles a week north, and morels kind of move 100 miles a week north. The peak collecting in the northern part of Wisconsin is typically Memorial Day weekend.
Okay.
And the dead elm are becoming, which is another topic, the dead elm are becoming less and less prevalent, and thus the decline. But when you go to northern Wisconsin, the logging roads in Nicolet, half the cars you see are from Indiana, which gives you a clue.
Yeah, that's interesting. So, do we have any idea if this morel season is, I don't know, above average or typical?
I talked to the person I consider the ultimate authority in central Illinois, Champaign-Urbana. I met him in 71. We've become close friends. He's been hunting morels for 65 years.
Wow.
And I always talk to him and get emails and stuff. He said that the morel season in central Wisconsin, or central Illinois, I'm sorry, central Illinois, is the worst he can remember.
Oh.
But up here, just in the last week and a half, it seemed to just really, really come on strong. And we seem to be having a reasonable season, but it's very condensed. The gradual color change in the common morel doesn't seem to be occurring. And we're seeing the mature yellow form. And that kind of is a statement that the season's going to be short.
All right, well, we'll check news, and then we'll continue talking about what could be a short morel season in Wisconsin, but nonetheless, probably a tasty one. Do you hunt for morels? We'll check news, and then we'll be back. This is the Ideas Network.
Grove, Emerald Grove, Cedar Grove, Union Grove, Soldiers Grove, Hales Corners, Slades Corners, Abel's Corners, Newburgh Corners, Piper'sville, Pittsville, Deansville, Reeseville, Janesville, Platteville, Orphanville, Footville, Blanchville, Plainville, Plainfield, Nutterville, Butternut. I've been over there. Hey, smell that dairy air. Hey.
This is a morel mushroom edition of Tell Joy Where to Go. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. We are going hunting for morels as morel season has kicked off, especially in southern Wisconsin right now. Many of you are out foraging for the wild delicacies, and we invite you to call in to brag about what you found, to tell us how you prepare morels, or if you have questions because you want to know how to be better at finding morels. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Our guest is Alan Parker, a retired biology professor at UW Waukesha. And let's go to the phones. Victor in Sturgeon Bay joins us. Hi, Victor.
Good morning.
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 I'm going to start out with a question. I've been noticing where I find 90% of my morels is in Christmas tree fields, white pines. Seems like underneath the white pines you'll find these little capped mushrooms. Why is the reason for that?
The capped mushroom?
Yeah, there's like a capped mushroom. Well, it's missing a cap, I guess. There's a little, I don't know, I call them a rain pot. I don't know. But then usually right around that area I'll find morels, too, when I see those.
Now, to backtrack a second, when you said Sturgeon Bay, you're up in the area where they find the third morel type. It's called the black morel or
yes.
Christmas tree-shaped morel, and that does occur up into Door County, and then further north you go in Wisconsin, it's fairly prevalent around pines and or conifers in general and poplars. The little cap thing, if it's like an inverted cap that's cupulate, it's in the same group as the morels. But there's a number of species it could be, and I couldn't really even give you a guess. But it is in the broad group that we call ascomycetes, in contrast to the other giant group.
Okay, so that's probably why I find those, and then I seem to find them morels. I don't know, the best way I always found to cook them, though, take a little Worcester sauce, a little A1 steak sauce, and some Lori's with some butter, and fry them up, and they taste just like steak.
Oh, wow.
Right.
Yeah, so do you... So, Alan Parker, I'm trying to... the black morel is a perfectly fine to eat, but it's just you don't think it's as tasty as the morel.
No, it is the black morel is as tasty as the yellow one, particularly in Illinois. Now, in Illinois, there is an association that I haven't found up here, and I've been looking since '78, and the association is with really large living ash trees. And we find the black morel around those in central Illinois, but I haven't observed the similar fruiting pattern up here.
Okay. You also mentioned dead elm. I mean, are there certain trees that the morels like better than others?
The historic, since I've been collecting in the early 70s on, both in Illinois and Wisconsin, I keep referring to Illinois because that's where I sort of got my feet wet with mycology, the key is, the only place I hunt, that kind of narrows it down, is recently dead elm trees, usually in the second or third year after they die, and it's generally from Dutch elm disease. That's the most prevalent pathogen of elms. The dead elm connection is huge, and it's been debated since the 60s as to what's really going on, and there's been some very initial research done that may explain it, but regardless of that, for a morel hunter, you need first and foremost to learn how to identify dead elm. I tell people, never mind the morels, figure out how to identify dead elm, and then look for the morels. And in the 80s, Richland Center area, Richland County in that area, was an absolute gold mine. And those trees are long gone, and the morel hunting has declined significantly. Similarly, in Waukesha County, I've lost a lot of my best hunting places because the elms are long dead and gone.
Interesting. So but they will grow around other trees, like pine, our caller just said.
I'm sorry. I should clarify what I was saying. They've discovered the last 20 years or so there's a distinct association with the common morel and white pine. You need a number of trees, like a white pine plantation, but there's a very well-established connection that you can find good morels under living white pine. Another one that we don't have in this area is cottonwood. In Illinois, they discovered this about 20 years ago. And the other part is they just appear randomly sometimes. But if you randomly walk through the woods, your probability is about 1% of pursuing particular associations.
Let's take another call from Jim in Tomahawk. Hi, Jim.
Hello, good morning. I find them right outside my window, which is right next to a stump of a dead elm.
Oh, there you go.
I'm from southern Minnesota, southeastern Minnesota, and we were morel hunting schools down there. And I, after moving up to northern Wisconsin, I really had some hard times finding them because there's little to no elm up here. And I think you just answered my question. My question was where to hunt them besides a place where there's dead elm, and you just answered it. So thank you for that information.
So the white pine is where you're going to look now.
Yeah, white pine, and I do know where some cottonwood is, too. So,
oh, wow.
And that's, it was like a tradition for us every year to go out in the spring and look for them. And last year my brother was up from La Crosse, and we just had a ball in our front yard, And it was, I do miss it. It's like one of those things where that, and I can't find puff mushrooms up here either. Just like nobody even knows what I'm talking about when I say, you ever see any big white balls out in the forest? And people are just look at me like, no.
Well, why don't Ellen Parker? What's a puff mushroom?
Okay, the puff mushrooms are, especially with the description of size, softball and larger, is referred to as a giant puffball. And again, I keep referring to Google. I don't have any stock in Google that I know of, but it's a great way, if you've got a common name or a technical name, to bring up a ton of images. The giant puffball is one of the absolute safest edibles. And I tell people softball size and up, it's almost 99.99% guaranteed. I've never, my whole career, seen a imitator or a poisonous lookalike for the giant puffball. It's very, very good edible. You can fix it a variety of ways.
Well, so, where can Jim says he's having a hard time finding those. Where would he have the best luck finding something like that?
In I'm out of my comfort zone when you get north of Stevens Point, but I would encourage him to actually try Nicolet. There's still a lot of dead elm that's scattered, but if you stop it in the federal forestry sites, they will literally tell you, the foresters will tell you where there's pockets of dead elm. They're very generous. And the giant puffball in the southern part of the state occurs at the margin of woods, kind of in the shrub area from pastures grading into shrubs, grading into woods. And that's a very characteristic habitat. They're not associated with a particular tree or anything like that. And they're very dependent on moisture. If we don't get a rainy August, there's very few giant puffballs.
I'm Joy Cardine, talking with Alan Parker, a retired biology professor at UW Waukesha with a PhD in mycology. We are talking about morels and other mushrooms, edible mushrooms in Wisconsin, but focusing mostly on morels since morel season is underway in Wisconsin. Let us know if you have questions or some experiences to share. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Let's go to Tom in Burlington next. Hello, Tom.
There are puffballs in the between Milwaukee and Racine in the cliffs there. And it's a beautiful spot. It's just incredible, that whole area there right along Lake Michigan. There, these high cliffs are 40 and 50 feet high.
Cool.
I think my question is, when you buy, if you pick a morel, are you supposed to leave a couple of morels there so that the spores will regrow next year or something or other? Someone told me that the spores are actually in the bark, or so maybe you can explain that to me.
Okay, there's a lot of folklore about morels and encouraging them to grow. The morels, once the elm tree dies, they seem to produce the fruiting bodies and the spores in response to their co-host or host kind of plant, the elm. And the spores are microscopic. They're airborne for dispersal, trying to find another suitable habitat. Less elm, less suitable habitats. The aspect of what do you do when you pick them, individual collectors, it's almost impossible to overpick. I never worry about it. You always miss a few. There's always a few in the grass or whatever. The other folklore, and this is where a few people are making a few bucks, they sell a bag similar to an orange bag or a grapefruit bag, the old-fashioned mesh ones, and they say put the morels in there. As you walk through the woods, you'll spread the spores. That's just baloney. The spores, it would take at least 10 to 15 years to establish and produce anything. And the other one is, should you cut them off above the stem or partially up from the ground, or should you cut them off at ground level? It doesn't make any difference. Cutting them off a little bit above ground just gets rid of the dirt. But leaving the stumps is not beneficial to the morel at all. And true morel hunters always cover the stumps with leaves. You don't want anybody knowing where you found morels, because they'll come back and look.
Well, in fact, here's William on Facebook. He says a lot of things, but one of the things he says, I usually find them outside. Does that help? Lots of laughs, you know. So why are people so secretive about their morel spots?
It relates, we use the term foraging, and if you look up forage in the dictionary, you don't want to call yourself a forager because it means pillaging and plundering. The secrecy is, it's similar to your favorite hunting place, your favorite fishing hole, and so forth. And there's a lot of correlation. Some of the best morel hunters are outdoorsmen. They spend a lot of time in nature. They're very comfortable in nature. And they earn the right to never tell anybody. We joke about people putting tracking devices on our cars to follow us, the true morel hunters. It's just a whole subculture, and a sociologist actually wrote a book on it. He studied morel hunters.
Wow.
And wrote an entire academic treatment of the philosophy, everything else about morel hunters.
So are the morel hunters just enjoying these in their kitchen, or are they trying to sell them?
That's a big I've never sold morels. I'm ethically opposed to it, but it's a great way. I've got a friend locally who buys from two young men that are collectors, and they'll make $200 in an afternoon.
Wow.
In our area, they're paying wholesale $20 a pound, and the good guys are selling them for 30, which is, if you've ever morel hunted extensively, 30 bucks a pound, I pay that. It's to save wear and tear on my old knees and back and whatever. But the Madison farmers markets, that they show up there, if it's a good year, they show up there every year. And I was talking to an artist, a friend of mine in Madison last weekend, and he said that last year they were $32 a pound, which is really a bargain. So there's a lot of selling, and you look in the local grocery stores in Metro Milwaukee, it's ironic. I was just at a local specialty store 2 days ago. All of the morels so far at that store are from the Pacific Northwest. And if you know how to identify morels, you can spot them in a second. They will convert to morels, again, found along the Mississippi River, La Crosse, up to Minnesota. If it's a really good season, they'll shift over to those.
Roger emails, can morels be commercially grown?
The first patent was 1982, and there was this incredible mystery. The primary owner of the patent was murdered 6 years later.
Oh, my gosh.
No correlation whatsoever, but it was a weird happening. The commercial cultivation goes back to Campbell's Soup Company in the 50s and 60s, very unsuccessful, millions of dollars in research. I talked to a person that actually worked at Campbell's Soup in Indiana, and he knew of the research that never amounted to anything. They've managed to cultivate commercially one species of morel, but it's a West Coast morel, and it doesn't have nearly the flavor. And it seems to have just kind of died out because of the expense. I've eaten the cultivated one three times, and I was not impressed. And I think that's part of the problem.
We have just a couple of minutes before our news break, but here's a Tom in Muscadet emails, carpet of morels Tuesday, no shortage here. Muscadet calls itself the morel, you know, mushroom capital of Wisconsin. Are conditions especially good there?
Yeah, there's a lot of dead elm. I've drove around the area. I don't collect over there because of the huge amount of pressure, and it's their land, and that's one really important thing. You do not trespass on private land. You have to make absolutely sure, because it's totally unethical to do it. But anyway, Muscadet is perfectly situated. They're along the Wisconsin River. There's pockets of dead elm everywhere, and it's really a really good area from Muscadet all the way over to Richland County.
And Muscadet is holding its Morel Mushroom Festival this weekend. Muscadet celebrating its, I guess, reputation as being a place where the morel mushroom is popular and populous. We are talking about foraging for mushrooms and morels with our guest, Alan Parker, retired biology professor at UW Waukesha. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Let us know your questions. Let us know your secrets. Let us know what you do with your morels, too. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.
I've been over there, hey, smelled that dairy air, hey. Once a bottle clear, hey, thought I saw a bear, hey. I had a creep of that state fair, hey, I've been over there.
Green Bay.
Middleton, Hubbleton, Hub City, Cuba City, Genoa City, Ashpin, Ashland, Packwaukee, Pewaukee, Waukesha, Conemaugh, Wapak, Milwaukee, Wausau, Wauwatosa, Wapak.
Every week at this time, I ask you to tell Joy where to go for some sort of special Wisconsin experience. And today, tell me where to go to find Morels. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It is morel mushroom season in Wisconsin, and we are talking with an expert, Alan Parker, a retired biology professor at UW-Waukesha, who knows how to find morels and other edible mushrooms. We're welcoming your questions and your own advice. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Britt on Facebook says, my dad finds them near his home in the Cassville area. He mails them to me in Appleton. So good. Fried up in some butter with a steak. Can't be beat. Jen says, I just tasted my first morel yesterday. Amazing. William says, cut it in half, wash it to remove the dirt, spiders, and slugs, and other assorted nasties that use the morel as a home. Fried in butter is probably the best. A little garlic, salt, and pepper on toast with some steak. That does sound amazing. Alan, is that right? We want to make sure we get the spiders out of this thing?
Yes, the ultimate story that I have, a good friend of mine in Illinois, she's currently very ill, but anyway, she was morel hunting in Michigan with Nancy Smith Weber, who is like the ultimate authority on morels. They found really large morels, 5-6 inches tall. She cut one vertically, and there's a salamander inside.
Oh, my goodness. Oh my,
they're very commonly inhabited by ants, springtails, pill bugs. That's a great point to cut them vertically and put them, you know, submerge them in water. People say don't get mushrooms wet. Well, these are perfectly fine to get wet, and that brings out all of the miscellaneous insects and other invertebrates.
So how do you like your morels?
Well, basically unhealthy. My wife and I, we ate a pound and a half the other night. Our favorite recipe is a cream reduction. You simmer the morels in a nonstick pan for about half hour under low heat, and then the liquid oozes out of the morels and then condenses, and then you add either thick cream or half and half, turn the heat up really high, and boil it constantly, stirring it till you thicken the sauce. And then pour it over pasta, sautéed chicken breasts, toast, anything.
God, that does sound good. I only made a morels one time. I picked them up at the farmer's market, and I only got a couple because they are so expensive, and I didn't know what I was doing. And I just sautéed it in some butter, which is what I was told. And it was okay. I didn't know. is there a secret to just sautéing it in butter? Is that supposed to be a good way to do it?
One of the secrets is it's probably salted butter, not unsalted, but you want to add a little bit of salt to the morels. It tends to draw out pulls out some of the flavor that's internal in the morel. And most our two recipes, we do use salt. We never use salt during the year, but that's the one time a year because it's only 2-3 weeks. And is it okay to mention a book?
Sure.
Okay. I mentioned Nancy Smith Weber. It's Dr. Nancy Smith Weber from Michigan. Her father was mycologist at Ann Arbor. His whole professional career, and it's a mycological family. She wrote a book in the late 80s. It's called The Morel Hunter's Companion, Nancy Smith Weber, and the subtitle is A Guide to the True and False Morels of Michigan. It's for the entire Midwest, upper, lower. And when people ask me for a reference, it's dated, but it's the only one that I refer to because it's got tons of beautiful photographs. It's got recipes for cooking, recipes for preserving, and it covers the false morels beautifully. So I don't get any commission whatsoever. I'm cited twice in the book, but there's been a proliferation of morel hunting books the last 15 years. I don't own any of them.
Yeah, well, we'll put a link to that book on our Facebook page so people
it's
can
very, very, and I've had tremendous success recommending it to people.
Let's go to another call. Darwin in DeSoto. This sounds like an amazing story, Darwin.
Good morning. Yes, it kind of is. 1 year, about 13, 14 years ago, I had to cut down a dead elm tree by our house, you know, for the sake of safety. So I cut it down with an old antique Clint machine saw and whatever, down she went. The following year, on the north side of the trunk, comes up a 21-pound, perfect, hen-of-the-woods mushroom. I cut it, didn't pull it, took it down to the grocery store, weighed it. Wow. It was perfect. We cubed it up about 3/4-inch cubes, put it in the freezer, and it's the best food we've ever eaten in our entire life.
And it took you 3 years to finish it. That's what I found amazing, too. A 21-pound hen-of-the-woods mushroom. Have you ever heard of such a thing, Alan?
Absolutely. I rank it second to morels. Spring, it's morels. Fall, it's hen-of-the-woods. I collect tons of different wild mushrooms, and I pass them on to people. But the hen-of-the-woods is just phenomenal. It comes up. It's kind of roundish. And it's composed of a whole series of leaf-like ledges, and it's typically brown to gray on top. When it's fresh, it's white underneath, and there's a really strong correlation with oak trees, either living oak or recently dead oak. And my wife and I have gone out in an hour or two, collected 60 pounds.
Wow.
And passed it on to a bunch of happy people.
We have just a minute to go. Any last-minute advice for foraging for morels or wild mushrooms in general, safely and successfully?
It's the key thing is talk to somebody that really knows wild mushrooms that's still living, hasn't poisoned themselves.
Yeah.
It's really difficult. There's very few of us that teach workshops. I still teach, I give lectures and teach workshops in southeastern Wisconsin, but it's really hard to find. There's only a handful of mycologists in the state. And you need, but communication is tremendously better with the internet and email and everything. And a really good resource is Tom Volk at UW La Crosse. And he has a wonderful website, Tom Volk's Fungi, and he's won national awards. So he's a good reference.
Good. We'll put that up too. And I want to thank you so much. This has been very informative. Thank you for being with us.
Oh, very much enjoyed it. Thank you.
Alan Parker, retired biology professor at UW Waukesha with a PhD in mycology, has lectured widely on edible mushrooms and knows where to find morels, too. Thanks to Christy Taylor and to Caleb Blato for producing this hour. It's now time for Wisconsin Life, and as we have been talking about, one of the most eagerly anticipated rites of spring in Wisconsin is the morel mushroom season. Fans of the elusive wild morel are notoriously secretive about their favorite hunting spots. You even have to get up early to find them at farmers markets. Morel season is short, and they are a hot commodity. Correll Owen takes us to meet the pros, the mushroom sellers at the Dane County Farmers Market.
I always think of them as a big inside-out nostril. I don't know if that's kind of gross or not, but they have that kind of a porous appearance to them, I guess.
My name is Nathaniel Jones. I go out with my dad every spring and we search for morels anywhere. Some people actually come up to the table here and say, "What are these? I've never seen them before." And we tell them they're morel mushrooms. They grow anywhere.
You want to find them where the sun shines all day. And then as the season climbs on, you change. I'm not a great hunter. My husband does all the technical stuff. He tells me where to look. I said, you find him, I'll pick him.
Just under dead elms is where we're finding most of ours. You know, it's like every 10th one that you look under, there's maybe or maybe not morels underneath it. It really depends. It's kind of like gambling, I guess.
Yeah, people say they only grow around dead elm trees. Well, that's not true. They grow anywhere. Matter of fact, my dad's best spot for the last 20 years was in a patch of hickories. And a little known fact about morels is that they're a super succulent. They grow during a rainstorm, similar to a cactus. There was one year that my dad was living in his trailer house in the valley. He was watching one grow. He could actually see it grow. And unfortunately, it grew about, the head was about the size of a football, but a raccoon got it before he could pick it.
They've got a meaty texture and at the same time kind of a nutty flavor. And they're wild. That's kind of almost a little mysterious, I guess. There's lots of recipes out there, but I think everybody primarily cooks them in butter. Butter and salt and pepper.
I cut them in half.
Mm-hmm.
I rinse them with water. And then I fry them in olive oil and a little bit of butter.
Personally, I prefer them. We take a little butter bowl and shake them around in a bit of flour and then saute them in straight butter. I love them. It's a combination of the morel itself and the butter and the flour and the fact that you went out and did all the work to get them and everything. It's a combination of all those efforts.
Wisconsin Life is produced by Erica Janik. Wisconsin Life is a co-production of Wisconsin Public Radio and Wisconsin Public Television in partnership with the Wisconsin Humanities Council. Additional support comes from Lowell and Mary Peterson of Appleton. For more information, you can visit our website at wisconsinlife.org and find us on Facebook. Stay tuned. We will talk to a former CIA deputy director about what needs to happen in the fight against terrorism coming up next. Monday at this time, we'll talk about the latest Pew study on the changing religious landscape in the United States. That's coming up Monday at this time. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.